Hello and welcome to the Football Fans Podcast Penalty Shootout, the first of our additional podcasts added on to our Football Fans Podcast regulars. We'll be doing these additional pods where we get an individual from the footballing game, various people, be it fans or former players, on, and a bit of a one-on-one contest between myself and our guest. And this week, our first week of the FFP Penalty Shootout, we've got a bit of a Premier League legend and former England international, former Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds, Southampton, Nottingham Forest, West Brom, and Coventry City midfielder, and obviously, as I mentioned there, former England midfielder. I want to welcome Carlton Palmer to the FFP Penalty Shootout. Carlton, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good. Thank you very much for coming on the FFP Penalty Shootout. You're on your way, you're currently driving to Leeds. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to today, and I want to ask some stuff about Leeds generally in your kind of time there.
Yeah, well, I'm on my way up to Leeds today. I've got a book signing. I did a book signing yesterday. So I'm doing a book signing again today from 12 till 1. Then I'm a guest of honour with Nigel Martin today at the game, and it's been a while since I've been back to Leeds United, so it was quite surreal yesterday going there, because it wasn't on the agenda to end up at Leeds United. It wasn't. I'd agreed a deal to go to Aston Villa with Ron Atkinson, and Howard Wilkinson nipped in at the last minute and convinced me that was the right move for me at that time.
And Carlton, why do you think that Leeds, because I mean, as commonly kind of said in football circles, that Leeds are probably the biggest footballing club outside the Premier League, and while, you know, I don't want to go into cliches of they should be in the Premier League, because no team has the right to be in the Premier League, but why do you feel that since they've dropped out of the Premier League, they haven't managed to, with the size of the club and the fan base and the money I'm sure they generate, haven't been able to quite get themselves back to the big league?
Well, I mean, the problem is simple. It, for me, is 10 managers in 6 seasons, I think. I mean, there lies the problem. I'm hearing rumours that the previous owner wasn't a good one. The fans didn't like Ken Bates, but I tell you now, a lot of the people at the club said the club was run well. Well, Ken Bates knows how to run a football club. And he sorted a lot of things out at Leeds, you know, with the ground and stuff like that. So it's getting the right owners, and it's having a bit of continuity, getting the right man in charge. The Championship is a difficult league to get out of now, because the money that's been paid to these players, I mean, you know, is stroke on Premier League money. So it's a very difficult league to get out of. I mean, you know, if you were saying £15,000 a week, you know, 15 years ago, you'd be a top player in the Premier League.
Yeah. Carlton, when I was doing some reading up on you a couple of weeks ago in preparation for this interview, I didn't realise you had a couple of player-manager stints at Stockport and Mansfield. And something I do know about you, that I heard you in an interview a couple of months back now, is that you're not a big fan or an advocate of the Rooney Rule, which the FA have introduced. And just for listeners that don't know what the Rooney Rule is, it's a rule they implemented in the NFL and in the States, whereby every time a head coach or a senior role at a club becomes available, all the clubs are incumbent on including a candidate from an ethnic minority background, and the FA announced a couple of months back that they'll be implementing this same rule in when they search for their head coaches for all of their teams. How difficult did you find, first of all, managing, albeit player managing, yourself, and secondly, why are you not, as a black man, I'm just interested to know why you're not an advocate of the Rooney Rule being introduced over here?
Well, let's go with the Rooney Rule first. The Rooney Rule was introduced in here in 2015, but it was only introduced up to academy level. So why bring it in and say, right, okay, black, ethnic, disabled, or a woman can only coach up to academy level? You know, and most managers who go into a football club these days, they're not bothered about the academy because they're not going to be in work long enough to be interested in the academy. So again, another side would step for me. Why? I did a lot of research on that Rooney Rule, and whilst the idea of it sounds great, you only have to look at the NFL. It was brought in 2002-2003, and it states that an ethnic or minority has to be interviewed, or else the club would face legislation, right? Well, the 492 coaching jobs underneath that, 90% of those are held by white people. So to get the head coach's job, you have to be in one of those hierarchy positions. To have the right criteria to apply for the head coach's job, you have to have done quarterback or linebacker or offensive. 95% of those jobs are filled by white coaches. So that was brought out in 2002-2003. Whilst there are more black head coaches, the same stat exists for the coaching positions. So therefore, on the surface, you would think, yes, it's doing well, but underneath, it's not. So what you end up is, that has often happened, is that it'll be a box-ticking thing. You look also at the stat that's there that I think there was in the last sort of 5-6 years, there's been 10 or more rookie white coaches giving head coaches jobs, not one black. So my argument is with this, it's a tick box situation. What we've got to look at is this, right? I agree that the system's not fair, and it isn't, but I speak to black, I landed back on the 10th of February, and I met up with a player, a black player, who'd finished and got into coaching. He works for the PFA. He said, don't quote me on this, Carlton, because and this is what the NFL players and coaches are saying, is they won't speak out for fear of jeopardizing future opportunities. But he said, I agree exactly what you're saying. He said, I've been for so many jobs, and I just feel that it's a case of get him in, get him out. He's been interviewed, we'll tick the list. Right? Now, I came up with a scenario, and I've put it out there, and I've said this. Let the FA, the Premier League, let's come up with a body that consists of a woman, black, Asian, disabled, right? So every denomination is represented. Doesn't have to be made public, right, in terms of the viewing, but so we have the data to reflect back on. Start it in the third division, and any job that is becomes available, this panel goes in, sees who applies for the job. They can feed that information back, you know, the amount of black players, the amount of women, whatever. See the interviewing process, the criteria that's required for the job, so all of this information can be taken forward. Their interviewing process, getting down to the last four candidates, and then the feedback onto why they appointed the person they did for the job. And everybody said to me, Carlton, well, that won't happen. I said, why won't it happen? So because the chairman will turn around and say, it's my club, it's my money, I can employ who I want to employ. Well, there's my argument. So the Rooney Rule's not going to work.
So is the answer then maybe that we need to have more black and ethnic minority owners and chairmen?
Well, that obviously that will help. But I've been a black manager, and I didn't think in my head I've got to employ black coaches. Mm. Not no way. I employed and I advertised and I gave the best person the job. Whether that person was black, white, a woman, disabled, I gave the best person the job. What we need to do is the transition will happen. If you go back to when like Cyril Regis started, Brendan, Laurie, Viv Anderson, there was no Rooney Rule. They had to break down barriers, and they broke down barriers for me. I broke down barriers for the next generation. you look at the England teams now. When I first started, very few black players. Now all the England teams are full with black players. All the leagues are full with black players. So the transition will happen in the management and coaching situation. We've just got to be patient. The people that go in, the likes of Chris Hughton, who are doing a fantastic job at Brighton, he's paving the way for the next black manager. We know what's fairer for me at the moment is this. I've always known that I've got to be better. So that's fairer than you saying to me, well, I'm going to give you the job on the back of I've got to employ a ethnic minority person. I don't want it that way. I want my job on merit. My kids, who I've pushed, and this is the key, education, 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 right? And I've pushed my kids, and they're applying for jobs now, having got degrees, of where it's saying and stating ethnic minorities will be considered. I don't want that. My kids don't want that. They've given up 4 years of their lives to get degrees.
I'm just thinking, how do we get those managers who are good enough in place to get those jobs? Because it's happening too slowly.
Yeah, I do agree, but I've got to be honest with you. I've had two managers' jobs myself. If I came back to the UK today, I would get a manager's job. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I would get a manager's job. I mean, I know I've managed in the Championship, and I've finished eighth in the league below. So if I pitch myself at the right job, I will get it. But I am going to admit this to you. Both of those jobs I've got is because I knew somebody.
Okay.
Right? So I'm not... I know for a fact, I know the candidates who went for the Stockport job, but I knew somebody who got me in front of the chairman. And it wasn't as if I was looking for a manager's job. I was actually playing at the time and coming to the end of my career. So it was one of those situations. But I do understand, I remember when I first started playing football and trying to get into clubs, taking my boots to clubs, to get trials, it wasn't easy. You know, there were clubs that were renowned, QPR, Glasgow Rangers, Everton, for not signing black players. We had to break down those barriers. So what we've got to do is keep educating, keep learning, keep knocking on those doors. We've got to try and find a fairer solution, but I hope I'm wrong, but in 10 years time, that you will see that Rooney Rule hasn't really had an effect, and people will turn around and say, if there's more black head coaches, that it's because of the Rooney Rule. For me, it won't be. It will be because of the transition of time. You know, I heard the other day, Chris Powell got it because of the Rooney Rule. Absolute load of rubbish. Chris Powell got the Southend job because he was a Southend legend. He's also proved himself at Championship level that he's a very astute manager. He's also been a very good coach. The Rooney Rule had nothing to do with him getting the job. They were calling for him. The fans were shouting for him to get the job weeks before he got the job.
They were. Yeah, you're right. They were. Carlton, I want to talk about midfielders now. You were one of the top midfielders in the Premier League when you were playing. I want to know from you. It was said this week that the idea of an all-rounded central midfielder has gone from the modern day football. You either have to be a shielder, protector, and a destructor, or you're a creator, a scorer who does the work in the final third. You were a midfielder, and correct me if I'm wrong here, please. That was known as someone that could do a little bit of everything. Do you think that the way the game has gone now, that it's correct that we do have midfielders who are specialists in either defensive or attacking areas, or do you feel they're almost cheating and only doing half the job if that is now what managers are telling their midfielders to do?
Well, I mean, you should, whatever. When I was being coached, I was being coached as a footballer. If I go back to the Nottingham Forest team of Nigel Clough, of Stuart Pearce, of Des Walker, all of those players could play different positions. He used to put Pearcey up front, did Brian Clough, and say to him, you go and play up front, and you see the kind of service you give in the front man, and see if that's the kind of service you would like. he used to play Nigel Crawford centre back to see the service that the front men were giving, so he knew. So these guys understood the game of football, right? You should be able to play the game of football. It shouldn't be, oh well, a midfielder just holds, or a midfield player just goes forward and scores goals. A midfield player should be able to do everything that's required.
That's interesting. Some of the top midfielders in the Premier League, your Dembele's, your Kante's, your Pogba's, your Wilshere's, Fernandinho's. Who are the ones in the Premier League now that you look on and think, yeah, he's a proper central midfielder. I like him. He's doing the job.
Well, it's difficult for me because I see the game now from a coach's perspective, mm-hmm. right? So I hear the Chelsea fans going on about Kante struggles in the Champions League because he's not that great on the ball. He won two back-to-back titles with Chelsea and Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, without the likes of Kante, you don't win league titles. You just don't. You know, the likes of Matic at Manchester United, the likes of Fernandinho at Man City. I mean, I would show you clips that a spectator wouldn't look at and wouldn't necessarily understand because they're not the eye-catching moments in the game, but they're these are the moments in the games that dictate you winning and controlling the game of football. You know, there'll be other players this season who will get the plaudits at Man City when they win the title, and I think they may go on to do a lot more than winning the title. But the likes of Delph when he's come in, the likes of Fernandinho, who and you notice that where they rotate these players, the likes of Kante and Fernandinho and Pogba and players like that don't get rotated. They're too important to the team. Mm. They knit the old team together.
Who's your favourite midfielder nowadays playing? And this can be in the Premier League or abroad. And who's your favourite midfielder from when you were playing?
Oh, Jesus. Well, when I played, there were people talked about box-to-box players. So Roy Keane was mentioned as a box-to-box player. He wasn't a box-to-box player. He was a terrific player, but he was a player that picked and chose his runs when to go. You know, players who I played are likes of Andy Townsend. Paul Ince, for me, great player, box-to-box player. You know, there is an argument who was the better player out of Keane and Ince. There's not an argument for me. Paul Ince was a far better player in terms of going from box-to-box than Roy Keane. You know, players that I used to come up against that people wouldn't necessarily say. Andy Townsend for Chelsea and Aston Villa, proper box-to-box player. You know, there's some great players. I mean, on the international level, when you play against the likes of, you know, Rudulic in centre midfield, he was a box-to-box player. You know, Seedorf, box-to-box players who could look after the football, could defend and could attack and make things happen. In the present day game, as you say, the way the teams have set up, it's like they do one or the other. Like I'm a big admirer of the boy Dele Alli. But he's set up just to go forward.
And does that annoy you? Does that annoy you that midfielders now, you know, aren't coached to be able to tackle as well as pass the ball through to a forward? You know, they can't. It's dribbling or, I don't know, shielding and protecting. Does it annoy you that midfielders now don't do a little bit of everything, or do you just think that that's the way it needs to be now?
Well, it doesn't annoy me. I just think from the coaching perspective and coaching young kids, they should be coached properly, not pigeonholed into, you know, oh, well, you're this type of player. I heard Graham Souness on about Paul Pogba the other day saying that he's, you know, he's like a school kid playing. And I've got the greatest respect for Graham Souness, but that comes around because they're trying to pigeonhole people into the game. Paul Pogba is an unbelievable midfield player who should be allowed the freedom to get backwards, to get forwards, because he has got that ability. He shouldn't be pigeonholed into that. So therefore, if you're that type of player, you are going to come under much more scrutiny, because you're going to be on the ball more. Mm. You're going to make more mistakes. You're going to take more risks. Paul Scholes, fantastic midfield player. fantastic midfield player, could get back, could get forward, right? You know, and could look after the and could look after the football. You know, I it does worry me when I watch teams and they, you know, it was amazing that when me and John Sheridan used to play together at Sheffield Wednesday, people always used to think that I used to go with the runner, but I didn't, and Chez was the one who was a sublime midfield player. But no, if a team had a runner in their side that would run off the back, John Sheridan would go with him. And I was just given the freedom to go wherever I wanted on the park and cause as much trouble as I could, running into areas which maybe left holes in our team. But it's like Ron Atkinson said to me, if they don't track you, whether we've left an hole in our team and you cause them a problem by making that run, then that's what he wanted me to do. And he believed in that way. I mean, Fergie played that way. I think a lot of the managers now play safe. It's about and with great respect, I'll take Man City out of that, because they do not play safe. You know, they go at teams, they hold an eye. I'm a big admirer. I know he's had plenty of money to spend, but to get them playing that brand of football, I think Premier League sides for the last 15 years have struggled to beat Man City right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Carlton, do you think that you were appreciated, you know, when you were playing? And I ask that question because there was obviously a well-known kind of publicised, let's call it a tiff, between you and Matt Le Tissier in regards to some comments that he made about you and you made about him. And I don't know if you're mates and if it was just kind of like a miscommunication, a misunderstanding, but the general vibe I got from you was that you felt that he didn't really appreciate what you did bring to the game, and you felt that maybe because as a talented and as gifted as he was, not taking that step up and out of his comfort zone out of Southampton, that says a lot more about him and maybe his heart and maybe pushing himself, whereas you may not have been as gifted as Matt Le Tissier, but you had the heart to always strive for better and test yourself at the highest level that you possibly could. Do you feel that people really appreciated what you brought to the game?
Well, I think they do now. I think, like Ron Atkinson said to me, and other managers now and the clubs I go back to now realise what I did for the clubs as a player. I think the players did at the time that I played with. The Matt Le Tissier spat really came about Matt Le Tissier making comments in the media about he was asked a question about, you know, why are England struggling? Well, when the likes of Carlton Palmer get 18 England caps, I took offence to that. I've never had a problem with Matt Le Tissier, and I never thought we had a problem. In fact, when I had my art problem, Matt Le Tissier was one of the first to send me a text. But I understand that, you know, Matt Le Tissier now makes his living in the media, you know, and you know, certain comments are said. Well, I'm not one of those people who will allow those comments to sit there. You know, I went to Southampton, and I went to Southampton at the end of my career, as it were, and I went there where there was 7 points adrift at the bottom of the league, and Matt Le Tissier wasn't there. It wasn't Matt Le Tissier who dragged him out of that situation. It was the likes of me and Kevin Richardson who went there, who created a platform for the likes of Matt Le Tissier to play. Now, I'm not saying you can have 10 Carlton Palmers and win a league, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can have 10 Carlton Palmers and stay in a league. You can't have 10 Matt Le Tissiers and stay in a league. So my argument was to Matt, and I've got nothing against him, don't bring me into any argument about having earned 18 England caps. I was there at Southampton, and for me, a talented player who had the opportunity to go, all this one player is one player, one club. That's fine if you're at Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester United, Real Madrid. Southampton, with the greatest respect, look at the likes of Gareth Bale, Theo Walcott, Alan Shearer. The list goes on of players going to better themselves. A big club comes knocking, go and test yourself. If he'd done that, if he'd have succeeded, then he perhaps would have got more England caps. My argument also stacks up that he can't argue when Glenn Hoddle was manager, he didn't pick him. So there is a reason why. So I got a bit of an offence with that, but it was taken out of context. Me and Matt spoke about it after the game, after a while, and me and Matt are fine. But what I'm saying is, somebody like me, I can stop the likes of Matt Letizia playing, but he can't stop me. And I stopped the likes of Gianfranco Zola, Eric Cantona. I stopped those players from playing, but they couldn't stop me. And so what I'm saying is, don't criticise somebody in the early 90s. I earned my England caps. Name a midfield player who was playing better than me at the time in the Premier League. There wasn't. There were players on a par. Insee, people like that. Sheffield Wednesday were at the top of the league. They were competing for cups, so I earned my caps. When I came out of the England setup, midfield-wise, I get that. Stolze, Beckham, people like that were coming through, hands up, better player than me. Still felt I should have maybe kept on playing for England at centre-back. My opinion, I was a better player than Gareth Southgate, but there you go. I would say Gareth Pallister was a better player than me, but I got more caps than Gareth Pallister. It swings in roundabouts. But what people realised at the time, clubs signed me not only because what I did on the pitch, because I would stand up and be counted. Matt Letizia ended up playing well and maybe getting close to getting an England recall because of the likes of me and Kevin Richardson, who went in there, who we created a system that he could play in, but also we put it on his toes. We said to him, hey, you've got to pull your weight. And once we did that, well, you know, you give somebody of Matt Letizia's ability, time and space, he's going to hurt you.
No, indeed. I just want to finish with a couple of questions on England, but before I do that, you mentioned that Matt Letizia makes his money now, he's a pundit and on TV. What do you think about football players that are pundits, and what do you think of the quality of analysis and punditry we get from our footballers? And also, the third question, is it something that you've considered doing, or would you like to have your voice heard on football and analysing games? Because you come across the kind of guy that won't hold back, won't, you know, come out of cliches and sugarcoat it, and you'll tell it as it is. What's your view on current footballers that are working in the media?
Well, there's when you're talking about racism, the BBC, there's your answer. I was working with the BBC. You know, I started at the same time as Lee Dixon and Martin Keown. I went and had media lessons. I went and did it correct and properly, as I do with everything I do. I make sure I do it thorough. And if I was told that I wasn't good enough to progress, then that's fine. Tell me what I need to work on to do. But I didn't progress. Hence why I went to do TV in Dubai. That's why I left the BBC to go and work there. You know, at the end of the day, I think I'm articulate. I think I know the game. I think I can impart that on people. And people in the game come to me. People who were presenters, Ray Stubbs and people like that, had come to me and said, you know, Carlton, I don't see why you don't progress. You know, it's clear to see what happens there. You know, I listened, no disrespect, I listened to Ian Wright's a great bloke. I love him to bits. He's great TV, but he's not a great pundit. There's better black pundits out there who can articulate better than Les on a football game. You know, Michael Owen, great player, but he can't articulate on a game. I think one of the comments I heard him say recently was, the game was 0-0 after 60 minutes. Oh, the game needs a goal. And I like Michael Owen. I'm not being disrespectful to these guys, but what they do is they go for Champions League winners, they go for people like that, you know, and not necessarily the best people. And then they put the token, as I come back to you, blacks on there, and that just covers up. You know, Robbie Earle was a brilliant analyst. And look where he's working, for Fox in America. He had to leave and go and do it. And this is what I'm on. You don't let people stop you. When I went to see the BBC and they said what they said to me, I went to work in Dubai. I now work abroad doing coaching. I go to Malaysia to do the analyst and the TV work for Astro Sports. They're not going to hold me back because I might not, you know, the BBC has a code of conduct of they don't want to upset managers. They don't want to, because they want them to give interviews. They don't want to upset. They don't want to upset players. They don't want to. It's not about saying something to sensationalise. I would never go on TV and lay into another player, because when the TV turns up on a given game, you could have a bad game. That doesn't mean you're a bad player. But you can give a fair analysis of a person's performance. So, you know, that is something I would have, if I had got a job with the BBC or Sky or whatever, I wouldn't be abroad now. But I didn't, and I wasn't going to stay here and be fighting around. You know, as I see in the game now, fighting around, you know, to get in a little hole there. And it was funny, I was speaking to David James not so long ago, and he's out in India managing, as a matter of fact, and doing very well. And he said to me, Colton, do you know how you get a TV or a good radio gig? Get yourself a massive Twitter following by being controversial. So is that how we do it now? If you've got a massive media following, which is the likes of Robbie Savage and people like that, who I think Robbie's got better, but I still don't think he's the best pundit out there. I mean, you know, but because he's got a massive Twitter following and Instagram or whatever, then this is why these people employ you. You know, I just think it's, you know, I mean, I do think Gary Neville, and Gary Neville's been a breath of fresh air. I didn't think he'd be quite so open and forthright. But when I listened to Gary, if I shut my eyes and I didn't know anything about football and I was watching the game, you'd learn something. And that's the idea.
Yeah. Just a nice, easy question to finish on, Carlton. It's the World Cup this year. How do England win the World Cup?
I think they've got a chance this year, and people are, you know, they say that every time the world comes across, England's got a chance. I'll tell you why they've got a chance this year. Climate suits them, right? A lot of the foreign players now, the top foreign players, are applying their trade in the UK now. So the issue about the season being long and arduous and whatever is going to apply to a lot of players. You've seen that now with World Cup winners Ozil and all of those who've come here who have struggled after that because of the Premier League. There is no league like it in the world. You know, in Holland, in Italy, in whatever, there are seasons really. Half the teams in there, you can win at a canter. And I do like what Gareth Southgate's done. He's put the young players in there. So he's not just gone for, oh, and we've got some good senior players. And if they go and play without fear, I think they're going to have a good chance at least the semi-finals. The one thing I like about Gareth as well, we can't just say we're going to play a 4-4-2. You've got to change. You know, you can't just say you're going to play two holding midfield players. You've got to adapt. So we might have to go to three centre-backs. We might have to go to, a different system to, you know, to deal with the way the opposition plays. We've got good players, we've got some good pace in the side, and if we can get through to the end of the season and have those players fit, you know, then we're going to have a pretty decent chance. But we've got to still have more of our players playing in the league, you know, playing in, you know, you go through the clubs, we still not got some of those young players not playing in the first teams at those clubs.
Does the midfield give you confidence, Carlton? Does the England midfield, do you think that even at their best and fit, is that are the England midfield options good enough to match up against Germany's midfield? Italy aren't there. Spain's midfield, Brazil's midfield. When it comes down to it, because that's pretty much where you win and lose tournaments, in my opinion. Do you think England have got enough good midfielders to really get to, like you say, at least the last four?
I think so. I believe we have. The season doesn't help us. I mean, I've been there at the end of the season, going to the European Championships in 92. I can't tell you exactly how many games I played, but I think it was something in the late 70s. back games I played the season, then to go into a training camp and to go into a major tournament. Well, I was one of the fittest players in the Premier League, if not, and the second game in, I was out on my legs.
Wow.
And that's been a problem. That has been a problem for... We don't have a winter break. We have too many competitions. And it is a major factor. And when people come out and say, well, Carlton, not buying that, all these players earn this money. No, the top players, if you look in recent years, the likes of Gerrard, Lampard, playing 80 games in a season. You've got the likes of Messi or the Spanish players. They only play 50 games. Half the games are gimmies in the season, 5-0, 6-0 against Levante or whatever. In the Premier League, you go to Bournemouth or go to West Brom on next Saturday, or bottom of the league. It's a tough old game. You know, so I just think that this year, because a lot of those top players are playing in Europe, a lot of those top players are now playing in the Premier League, it gives us a bit of a level playing field. I think the fact the climate will suit us, and if Gareth's adventurous, and I believe that we've got to play to our strengths, not be worried about playing a certain way that people think you should play. Our strengths are pace and in people's face, and that's what we need to play, not you know, sitting back and waiting and whatever. Let's use all the pace we've got. Let's use the boy Rashford at Man United. He's got more tricks than Paul Daniels, the boy, you know.
Yeah, agree with that. Listen, Carlton, thank you very much for coming on the FFP, man. I really appreciate your time.
No worries, pal. No worries. Thank you. Take care.
And I want to hear from you guys out there as well, all football fans. Let me know what you think about Carlton's views on the Rooney Rule, punditry, England and central midfielders, and also Leeds. You know, Leeds are a massive club. I want to know from you guys your theories as to why Leeds haven't been able to even really come close to returning to the Premier League. I think last year was the first year they actually had a sniff of kind of a playoff opportunity. Let us know. Hit us up on the iTunes. You can follow us there. Leave a comment on iTunes, Football Fans Podcast. We're also on Audio Boom, and follow us on all the social media outlets as well. Until next week, peace.